Well, I have a word in the house today. If you're ready for the word, I need you to put some likes and some comments and some praise hands and some amens and make some noise. Now, I need to let you know that I've worked on some new technology that there's nobody in the room right now except like my mama and Charles and the worship team. But I can feel your holler back at me, okay? I asked the Holy Spirit to let me be able to feel, because there's some of y'all watching in Africa right now, in Georgia right now. Dallas is in the building right now. Houston is in the building. Cali is here right now. Wherever you're watching from, all I'm asking you to do, if something is good, if it agrees with you, I need you to act like you're in the building, because I can feel it. And the better you help me, the better or I'm going to preach right now, okay? So can I get one big amen from everybody? Come on. Can I get one more big amen from everybody? That's what we're saying, so be it. Well, we are starting week one of a brand new series that I'm entitling, Who is the Minister Here? And the honest to God truth is, I've been planning this series for 2 years. And there is no way that I would have known that we would be at this crossroads in society at this moment. But God did. And he wanted me to challenge every person that is watching and hearing this broadcast, this message, this playback, to really evaluate if you have truly answered the call that God has brought you to this earth for. And I know some of you right now, your job you thought was your calling, but when they laid you off last week, you found out that you were expendable there. That's not why God called you. That wasn't your source. That was a resource. But at the moment where everything is scaled back and movie theaters are closed and sports are shut down and all of our, honestly, distractions to our purpose have now folded up in 1 week, God's asking, now can I have your attention so that you can do what I created you and sent you here for? I'm about to come all in your business today. So let me, okay, Wusa Mike, okay, let's get them started. Let's play a little game right now. And I want to play a little game called Who's the Minister, okay? And I'm going to put a picture on the screen, and I need you to see if you can identify the minister in the picture. Let's try this. Who's the minister? Does anybody know who that is? Okay, some of y'all said T.D. Jakes. Okay, I hear you. Some of y'all are like, I don't know. Who is that? All right, let's try another one. Who's the minister here? Okay, does anybody know who the minister is? Okay, I hear somebody saying Joyce Myers, and other people said, that's my Aunt Sally. Okay, that ain't your Aunt Sally. Okay, let's look. Who's the minister here? Now, some of you said Pastor Stephen Furtick. Okay, others of you are saying that's the guy who does my laundry every week. Okay, here we go. Who's the minister here? Now, some of y'all be like, that's you. And when I think about the question of who's the minister here, many of you, if you knew the people in the pictures, you identified the pastor or the teacher in the picture. You did not identify the minister. See, because if I was to ask you right now, and if you were in this building with me, and I said, hey, who's the minister here? 4,500 hands would point at me. And at that moment, I would say, you're wrong. See, I'm not the minister here. Write down point number one of this series. You are the minister here. And see, some of you are saying, Pastor Mike, no, I can't be the minister because you don't know what I deal with. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I come from. You don't know what things I'm still fighting with. But the problem is that I see in the body of Christ right now is the body of Christ is so fragile because the weight of the whole of the purpose that God wants to do has been resting on a few. Let me give you an actual picture of this. See, because what's happening right now is this is many of the people that you think are ministers. Oh, that's Pastor Mike. That's Pastor T.D. Jakes. Oh, that's my pastor at First Community Church. That's my pastor at First Ebenezer Baptist. That's my pastor at Number One Colgic Church, okay? Whatever your church is, I don't care about denominations, but we think it's the pastor, the prophet, the apostle, the teacher. And then something happens in culture and society where the church is supposed to hold the weight. But when you put it on somebody like this, they get crushed. They can't hold it up. And then something else happens and they get crushed. It's because there's not enough people who are full that are able to hold up the weight when society has questions. When people are saying, where is God? There's a few people standing up. But God said, every child that was born of me should be standing up and not ashamed of the gospel. But there's too many people who have not been identified or accepted the call that they're the minister. What would happen if people that are working at the school system and people that are arts and entertainment and people that are working at the bus stop and people that are working at the daycare and stay-at-home moms and all of these people would take their place as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ? When society comes to crush, we would be ones that are able to stand. Somebody say, I'm the minister here. And what happens if you get in your place and when somebody has a question at your school, at your job, not they gotta come to the church, but we are the church. I feel this thing. And we step into their world. Then you get some other ministers to come up in their spot, in finances, in the stock market, and when other situations come. That we will be able to be the ones, no matter the situation, to be able to stand. And then we can teach our children how in the midst of a pandemic, we don't lose our faith. In the midst of being laid off, we understand that that job was a resource, but God is my source. He was Jehovah Jireh, my provider. All the way back to Moses, he brought water out of rocks. And what you don't understand about this example is these ministers that have been holding all the weight, they're actually empty. But if ministers would take their place and be full of the Holy Spirit, it would give people who are empty the opportunity to stay in a place long enough where they could heal and still be a part of what God wants to do, but not be thrown off. Because they don't have enough in them. What I'm saying to everybody that's watching me right now is God saying, will I have to look for another? Or can I use you to be my minister at that soccer field, on that campus, online right now as social distancing is taking over? Could you use your text message thread not to sext people, but to actually, to lift up the name of Jesus? Could you use it not to complain and gossip, but could you spread the gospel with it? Could I get somebody to be my minister? Somebody said, I'm the minister here. Come on, somebody say, I'm the minister here. And that's what I want everybody to know. So I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. I'm preaching harder than y'all was in the building. I feel this thing right now. I see God doing something in somebody. Faith is coming alive in somebody right now. You're realizing that the reason God hasn't let you off that job was because he sent you in there as a secret agent. You are the minister at that place. The reason you're trying to step into this other lane and God says, I need you right there, is because if I could get enough of my ministers spread out all in government and I could get enough of my ministers spread out in every mountain of society, then maybe a banner could be lifted up in the kingdom of God. We'd be expanded. Somebody just shout at me, I'm the minister here. Look at Ephesians 4:11, because some of y'all are like, that doesn't make sense. Rev, you the minister. Bishop, you the minister. I think that this has been a misnomer in the body of Christ that has jacked up people's theology and jacked up people's responsibility. Because what ends up happening is you leave the four walls of the church and you think that, oh, this pandemic is happening. I hope the pastor's doing something. Oh, wow. There's a crisis in the land. I hope those people are praying. And God said, hold on. What? I let you see that post. I let you come in contact with that homeless person. I let you be born into that family to stand up and be the minister there. See, some of y'all are mad right now, but I'm trying to call you to another level of responsibility and calling. Look what Ephesians 4:11 says. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Now listen to what he gave to the church. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Now watch, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Another translation says their job is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So my job as your pastor is not to minister to you. It's to equip you to minister to others. Did you just read it in the word? You've been thinking, yes, today, Pastor. He just ministered to me. Hey, he did a work. It was God. No, baby. You were here supposed to be taking notes. You were here you needed to take the scriptures I said, translate them in your mind and how you do it, because you got to give that away and minister to somebody else. God said the reason I gave pastors, prophets, apostles was not to be glorified. It was to glorify me and equip others. And that's why I got to come against this religious spirit that tries to make pastors and prophets and all these people on this pedestal like they boo-boo don't stink. Listen to me. Their greatest role is a servant. We are built and called to equip people to be able to go out. If you're a pastor or a prophet and you're the only one can do what you're doing, you need to move, because the goal is that other people would be able to do greater works. Even our Jesus said greater works. Now, if Jesus, the only man that lived a sinless life, had a plan for the ministers to do greater than him, why are you the greatest person in your organization, ministry, and church, and you've been there for 20 years? I'm going to get hate mail for this one, but it's the word anyhow. And some of y'all are sitting there like, okay, so a pastor's job, a teacher's job is to equip me? Yes. You're the minister. I'm the minister's Mr. Miyagi. Now, I don't know if y'all have ever watched Karate Kid, but in my heart, in my mind, when I get up here, when I study all through the week, when I'm trying to get a revelation, it's not because I'm about to have to go fight. Do y'all remember Karate Kid, where Daniel's son and Mr. Miyagi was there, and Mr. Miyagi was teaching Daniel how to wax on and wax off, and it didn't look like it had anything to do with the battle that they were about to face and the opposition they were about to come up against. But what he was trying to do is give him reps in something that he know he would be able to use later. And I think that's what I'm supposed to do, is tell you, yeah, keep honoring God first in tithing, even during a pandemic. Wax on and wax off. Stop gossiping when you come around your family. Come on. I want you to keep on reading your word and meditate on my word day and night. And I want you to turn off Netflix and be able to get in my presence. All I'm trying to do is teach you the principles that when you come up against a pandemic or you come against your Aunt Pam. I don't know what's worse for some of y'all. Some of y'all it's a pandemic, and some of y'all scared more of your Aunt Pam. But whatever you come up against, what God is saying is the things that you do and you learn from the apostles and the prophets and the teachers, those are the very things that are going to allow you to get in the middle of a battle and win the war. I don't know. I see myself as Mr. Miyagi. I'm the minister's help. And until you get in your place, I don't have anybody to actually equip. We have a whole bunch of people that are tuning in right now at the tunes of hundreds of thousands of people, but I wonder how many people have answered the call of a minister. I wonder how many of you are still sitting there like, oh, he's saying some good stuff, but what I'm trying to do is push you out of your place of complacency and let you know that in the gated neighborhood that you live in, you're the minister there. And so I need you to understand this. My job is to equip God's people to do his work and build the church. I like that. Equip God's people, do his work, and build the church. What's my job? What's my job? I said, equip God's people, do his work, and build his church. Come on, pastors. Come on, say, equip God's people, do his work, and build the church. So we need to break those three things down, because without understanding, you don't know what that really means. So let's answer those questions. Who are God's people? What is his work? And how do you build the church? Let's start with number one. Who are God's people? Look at Romans 10:9. It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You just became God's people. And some of y'all may be like, that's too easy. They need to change their life. They were smoking yesterday. Hold up one second. Back up for one second. This is the same way that every one of us is saved. If we was out clubbing last night, if we was drunk or high last night, if we were lying last night, if we were in an alternate lifestyle sexually last night, it doesn't matter. Because at the moment you do what Romans 10:9 says, God says it's even at the foot of the cross. And Christians and believers try to make there be big sins and little sins, but everybody is even. And he says, all you got to do is believe. I sent my son, he died for you and he rose again. And it said, you are saved. And I know I'm fighting that religious spirit right now that's telling people that ain't what I believe, but I got a scripture for you too. So look at it in Mark chapter 2 verse 16, because religious people who are judgmental aren't new. That's been around since Jesus was walking the earth. And there was some teachers of religious law who were Pharisees, and they saw him, that's Jesus, eating with tax collectors and other sinners, which all of us are without the grace of God. And then they went up to not even Jesus, they went up to his disciples and they asked him, why does he eat with such scum? I don't know why my voice just went to that right now, but that's what it felt like. They just bougie and got high voices. And it says, Jesus overheard them and look what he did. He said, y'all need to know one thing about your boy. I've come to call not those who think they are righteous. Ooh, ain't that good? Because some of y'all right now are sitting next to people that you would consider yourself better than. But God says our righteousness is like filthy rags in his presence. That's why we need God. He said, literally, I didn't come to call those who think they're righteous, but those who know that they are sinners. This is the good news for everybody that knows you've been wilding out. You know it. And if you know that you've been far from God and that he's calling you to another place and you don't want to keep living your own life the way you've been living it because it's not gotten you the results that you think you needed and wanted, he says, come to me, and all you have to do is receive what I have done through my son by faith. Everybody say by faith. This is not by works. This is not about how many times I do good deeds or how many times I didn't cuss or how many times. This is by faith. Everybody say by faith. When you receive by faith, you're God's people. So who are God's people? I'm going to give you the MLT just real definition real quick. Sinners who receive Jesus as their Savior. Point blank period. If you are a sinner and you have received Jesus as your Savior, you're God's people. And that is why this church exists, to represent God to the lost and found for one reason, transformation in Christ. And everybody may not have the right view of this, but I want you to see something, that the found are God's people, but just as important are the lost who are God's passion. That's why the Bible says he would leave the 99 of the ones who are God's people who already been found to go after the one. And I don't know who you are, but I feel like there's some ones watching right now. That there's some people right now, you said, I've done too much. My track record is too long. My body count is up. I can't do certain things because of what has happened to me. And God says, I will leave God's people to come after my passion, which is you. And all I'm saying to you is you can be a minister by the end of the day. Like if you receive Jesus today, oh, I feel the presence of God because somebody's wheels are turning right now. That maybe I don't have to live my life how I've been living it. Maybe I can be a minister. And God says, that is what I want. You're my passion. So no matter if you're God's people or you're God's passion, you're a GP. It reminds me of an old Kirk Franklin song, Don't Leave Me Hanging Out Here. GP, are you with me? Oh, yeah, we got the church. We ain't going. A GP, are you with me? Oh, we got the, one more time. Say, GP, are you with me? Oh, yeah, we got the church. We ain't going nowhere. What I'm saying is God's passion and God's people are supposed to be found in God's church. Wow. That's great. And today, you can make sure that happens. Let's look at the second question. What is his work? Because it said that the pastor's job is to equip ministers to be able to find out if they're God's people and to do his work. So what's his work? Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. before he ascends to heaven, he says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. So he's the man. He can say this. Therefore, the one instruction that I want to give to all my ministers is to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all my commands that I have given you. And be sure of this one thing. I am with you even to the end of the age. Do y'all know that when you're a minister of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter if it's SARS, if it's Ebola, if it's COVID-19. When you're a minister and you're going out and you're telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ, he says, I will be with you to the end of the age. Somebody needs to get excited about that right now, because you've been walking in fear. And God says, why are you walking in fear? I'm with you. The one thing about my daughter Isabella is we've been going through this stage where she likes to sleep in my bed, and I need everybody to pray for me because it's hard. But what's ended up happening is I found out that sometimes she gets scared of the dark. And so she'll come into my room, and what I used to do is I used to turn all the lights on in the house all the way back to her room, because that would allow her to be able to see where we were going. And then I said, no. She's got to know that she's okay. So the other night when we were going to the room, I kept all the lights off. And she said, Daddy, I can't see. I said, it doesn't matter that you can't see. I'm with you. And she said, Daddy, I can't see. I said, but you feel me right here with you, don't you? And she said, yeah, I do. And so the next night, she went to say it again. I feel the Spirit of God. He'd be talking through stuff. And she said, Daddy, I feel you. She was about to go back to her natural reaction is, I can't see what's happening. I don't know what's up ahead. I don't know. It's dark in this season. But instead of saying, I need to see it, she just said, I need to feel you. I just need to know you're around. I need to know that you're close. And what God is saying is, my work is that you would go out and make disciples. And the thing you need to know, that no matter what season you're in, I am with you. Somebody say, God is with me. Come on, somebody needs to believe that in faith. God is with me. So what is his work? Spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. So every minister, that's anybody who's accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, has a job to do. Not the one that pays you on the 1st and the 15th. The one you were coded with purpose before you were in your mother's womb. He said, when you took that vow to be covered by me, he said, you got a new responsibility as a minister of Jesus Christ, and that's to share the good news. He took into the fact that you're an introvert. He took into the fact that you don't like public speaking. He took into the fact that you break out in cold sweats when you have to do something you didn't know you have to do. And he said, and I still built you with the ability to share the good news that Jesus has come to seek and save those who are lost and hurting. And that is his work. So now it's our work. Somebody just say again, I'm the minister here. Ooh, I feel this thing. But you know what? In this season, right now, the whole nation, literally the whole world, is focused on containing something, but God is focused on spreading something. He wants his news. Right now, while everybody's in fear and wondering, he said, this is the perfect time for the Prince of Peace to invade situations. This is the perfect time where people don't know where money's coming from, that Jehovah Jireh, your boy, is wanting to show up on the scene. The one who goes before you, I want to be there. But how will they know unless somebody tells them? And so many times we're so selfish and focused on what God is doing in our life that we won't share the joy that we already have. I do not know how people that are not walking with God are making it through this season. Do you know how much fear and anxiety is coming from CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, your local television station, your Instagram feed? But as believers, we have our hope anchored in Jesus Christ. And the thing that you need to do is tell somebody else. Now, I can't believe this, but y'all may be able to identify, especially some of the ladies. And yes, I'm a man, but I do like shopping, okay? So let me just put it out there. This jacket is bad, and I found it on my own as I was shopping. The one thing I want you to know is that anything about a real shopper, not a stingy shopper, because some of y'all are stingy shoppers, and you find a sale, but you won't tell nobody about it because you want to be the only one to wear it. It don't even look that good on you anyway. No, I'm just playing. You look beautiful. What I'm saying to you is that when somebody's a real shopper and you love to see people get deals, when you find something, the first thing you do is tell other people. When you really find the 50% off, the 70% off, the 80% off, you'll be taking pictures for other people like, this ain't my size, but this look cute on you. And you'll be able to send it to somebody else. What I'm saying is, if sales shopping is good news, why isn't the fact that God's redeemed humanity much better news? That you don't have to be in the place that you're in and stay there and live there. We have good news, and it's our job as ministers to share that good news. But you cannot spread what you haven't caught. And you cannot give what you don't got. And you cannot omit what you don't own. And that's why I'm preaching this series. Because too many people think that I'm the minister. The person on the platform is the minister. And you haven't owned that you're a minister at that job, with your kids, on that soccer field, on that basketball court. You are the minister. And God is trying to equip you to not have to be confined to a building. He's giving you a free pass to use your authority wherever you are. And until you get this, we don't get to be the full expression of the body of Christ. So the last thing, question we got to answer is, how do you build the church? And I want to camp out here for just the next 10 minutes so that you can understand that I think there's a fundamental problem of how people have viewed the church. See, people think that the church, this building, is the thing that God cares about. But write this point down. The church is not an organization. The church is an organism. The church is you. And until you get this, in Ephesians chapter 4, and he said the pastor's job, the prophet's job, the bishop's job is to equip the ministers, his people, to build the church. It wasn't talking about building buildings. It was talking about building people. So that's why it doesn't matter if this building God gave us never opens back up. The church is still expanding. When you look at Acts 2:42, it said they were meeting home from home, sharing meals, sharing everything they had, and their numbers were growing daily because they weren't building brick and mortar. They were building minds, bodies, and souls. And what I'm asking you is if you stop focusing on the organization for a second, because honestly, the organization has been a lot of our excuses. Well, that church hurt me. Well, I ain't never doing no, because they just want my money. And we've blamed organizations, and if we can be honest, it was one or two organisms who really messed over you. It was some people who hadn't given God full control. And on behalf of those people who were pastors and leaders and people in your life who you thought was the church, and that's why you haven't come back to church because you saw somebody do it wrong and they fell short of the glory of God, I want to apologize. Because I know that has hurt you, because the only thing that can hurt another organism is an organism. And we've blamed it on the church, but now we can't blame it on an organization. That was a person. Would you please not hold all of us responsible or even hold God responsible for what somebody did? And would you allow forgiveness to flow through your heart? I feel this thing deep down in my spirit right now. There's somebody right now who's getting healed. Because you're realizing the church wasn't this big organization who forgot about you or isolated you or downcast you when you had a baby out of wedlock or when you had the abortion. That wasn't the church. That was a person or a couple of people or a group of people. I'm asking you, let them go, because that poison is killing you right now. And what God wants to do is he wants to heal you. And look at the greatest thing. He wants to make you a minister so you can go back to the very people who feel like how you felt. And you know that deep despair and that isolation. And go back and share the good news that God took away grief and he took away shame on the cross. And that you can walk free and be his minister. Somebody needs to thank God with me. I feel healing flowing in this room right now. So how do we build the church? How do we build people? I want to show you a story where Jesus does this with one of his disciples. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea and Philippi, I feel this thing, he asked his disciples saying, hey, I got a question for everybody. Y'all come around here. Who do men say that I am? What are the people saying in the streets? I think some people are saying that you're John the Baptist. And then another one says, you know what, Jesus? Some people saying you Elijah. I don't know why everybody's so ghetto right now. And others are being like, no, sir, everybody's saying you're Jeremiah. you're the prophet. And then Jesus switches it up on everybody. And I think this is the question that COVID-19 is making everybody have to answer right now. And then Jesus said, but who do you say I am? Yeah, I know what the government is saying, and they're saying we can be in this. You've heard everywhere from 18 months to 3 months to 2 weeks and all this other stuff. Yeah. And I know what you say that they can do for you and what a vaccine could do for you and what these people could do for you and help and aid and all this stuff. But who do you say I am right now in the midst of this? What are you saying? Because it really doesn't matter what everybody else is saying. It matters what you believe and what you're standing on right now. And he asked them, who do you say that I am? And look at one disciple who could have been quiet and shrunk back in the background like many believers do when they're in a group or an organization, but he stepped forth as an organism. Look what he said. Simon Peter, he answered and said, you're the Christ, Son of the living God. And it hit me right here, because if you are going to be the minister, you have to be, write this down, be open. See, there's many people in this room that are not open to God making you a minister. Like in the crowd, you would rather stay back. But for him to answer as an organization, or not an organization, but as an organism, he had to step forward and be open to give an answer. And it hit me right now that some of you are so set in your careers, some of you are so set in your plans, that God is asking you, I want to make you a minister to go into places that people have not even been able to go in and represent me right or represent me right. And he said, but are you even open to it? Are you open to going into crafts and arts and be my minister there? Are you open to going into the music industry and being my minister there? Are you open to going into the judicial system and be my minister there? I feel this thing because somebody's faith is right. Are you even open to stepping from amongst the crowd or the people who are in the organization of Christians and believers? And would you step forward and be open to me doing something through you? And Simon was open. Somebody say, I'm open. No, say it again. I'm open. Because if you are going to be a minister, you have to be open. And this response throws Jesus off. Look what it says. It says, Simon Peter answered, said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17. Jesus answered, said, you say what? Hold on. Blessed are you, boy. You blessed. Because Simon Bar-Jonah, look at the name he called him. For flesh and blood, or your experience, or you just being here right now, hasn't revealed this to you. But it was my Father who is in heaven who divinely inspired you because you were open. What I'm trying to tell you is all throughout history, God is just looking not for people who are perfect. He's looking for people who are open. He's not looking for people of extraordinary ability. He's looking for people of availability. It goes back to Moses when Moses had a speaking problem. And he said, I can't talk for you. And God said, if you open your mouth, if you're open to me using you, I'll fill your mouth and you'll be my minister at the highest level of government. And this is why if you're open and you step from around the organization and you say, God, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Then God will start revealing stuff to you that your education couldn't teach you, that your pedigree couldn't teach you. Do y'all know I'm a pastor with 6 months of high quality Tulsa Community College education? The revelation that I get is not because of something that man gave me. It was because I was open when God visited me in a Hampton Inn in Baton Rouge, Louisiana at 4 a.m. And God called me into ministry and I was open to it. And he said, as long as you're open, I will reveal what I need you to do when you get there. I need somebody to be excited because God's saying, if you'll be open to be my minister, he said, then I'm going to do something for you. So write this down. If you are going to be the minister, you have to hear from the originator. And too many people are not doing what this disciple did. He was open, but then he only said what God told him to say. Jesus says it. My Father in heaven revealed this to you. And too many people are self-proclaimed ministers not hearing from God. Just because you got a Facebook camera don't mean that you... Let me stop. The truth is that I would be not being effective if I walked up here and said my opinion. The reason that I'm effective is because I spend time with God and I hear from the originator and I hear from God. That's why in this time where many of you have more time than you've ever had, it's so important that you start your day in the Word of God so you can increase your faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God, but faith increases by whatever you focus on. So if you focus on the fear, it's only going to enhance your faith in fear. But if you focus on the promises of God, it's going to enhance your faith. And that's why I'm asking everybody, even in this time of corona, we are praying every single day at noon. And I want to thank you because tens of thousands of you have been joining us all every day that we've done it. But we're going to keep going until we see a miracle because we need to hear from God. And if you're going to be his minister, you got to hear from the originator. Look what it says in verse 18. And he says, and also I say to you, watch this. He switches up his name. You're Peter. Yeah, no. That's who you are. No, Peter. No, I know they've been calling you Simon Bar-Jonah, but I'm switching your name or I'm calling you something different. And Peter means Petra or the rock. And on you, I'm going to build my church. This hit me because up until this point, he had been called one thing. But when he got open, heard from the originator, his name changed. And what God says is, can I call you something different and you own your calling? See, right now you've been successful in business, but what if God wants to change your name right now? Would you own it? And that's what I want to give you as the third point right here. If you're going to be the minister, you have to own your calling. So many of you are going back and forth and vacillating. Well, what will my family think if I really start doing this? And what will my friends say? You might lose them. You might actually have to leave people to become something and then come back and get them. Some of y'all are so worried about going to where God has called you to be with all of the homies that been with you. There is some time where you're going to have to step out and be open to what God wants to do and him changing your name, and you get a word from him and you walk and you own it. I think about it in my own life, man. When God called me and I had been in the music industry and I was doing stuff there, that's what I thought my identity was in. And when I started working in ministry, I didn't want all the religious stigma, and I started doing youth ministry, and they was like, are you our youth pastor? Are you Pastor Mike? And I felt the little tinge of like sarcasm they were saying with it. And so out of my need to really want to be, relatable, I was like, no, don't call me Pastor Mike. Call me Big Brother Mike. So the whole time I was a youth pastor, everybody called me Big Brother Mike. Well, many of you know my story that eventually I became the executive pastor of our church, and then I became the lead pastor. And when I became the lead pastor and God called me to lead the church, not that I wanted to just do something, he called me to do it. I didn't accept or own the calling. And so there would be people that would be coming around and be like, Big Brother Mike, Big Brother Mike, Big Brother Mike. And God said, you better stop answering to that because that's not what I called you. I called you Pastor Mike. And not that I needed somebody to validate and call me Pastor Mike. That wasn't the thing. I hadn't owned it. You can call me Michael, but I still would own my calling. And I was allowing the title to keep me away from owning my calling. And God says, if you don't own it, I'm gonna find somebody else. And I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but there are things that God has been trying to give you, and there's spaces that he's trying to call you to minister in, but you're saying, I don't really do that, and I don't want to be known for that, and I don't want to do that. And God said, I factored in all of your flaws, all of your quirks, all of your nuances, and I still called you my minister. You better own the calling. And I'm just making a decision right now. And I believe that I'm speaking faith into somebody who God's already given a vision, that he's already given you a dream. He's already told you to write it down. And you've been shying back because of what others thought. And God has changed your name. He called Simon something different. He said, Peter. And he had to answer to the call. I think about it like this, that when I was young, my mom's in the room right now, praying me through right now. I love you, baby girl. And what's happening right now is that God, I feel his spirit translating through this screen right now. I feel this thing so strong. When I was young, my mom made a nickname up for me, and she called me Mookie. Ha, 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 ha. Okay. But the crazy thing about it is all of my life, because she was the one who gave me the name, because she called it to me first, when she called me that name, I would answer. But if anybody else called me that name, like my brothers would always try to make fun of me, like Mookie, Mookie, all that other stuff. When they called me, I didn't respond. And one of the things that God was telling me even in this, he said, I'm calling you something different, but it doesn't matter about what I call you as much as it matters what you respond to. So some of you have been responding. Even if they're calling you out of your name, calling you not what God called you, you're still responding to it so they can keep calling you that, and you keep walking in that thing until you stop responding to it. Some of you have been responding and anger calls out to you and you answer. And God says you need to stop answering to anger and you need to start answering to anointed. When you hear that name, that's what you need to respond to. Some of you right now have been answering to mad, but you need to answer to masterpiece. Some of you have been answering to ho, but God wants you to know that you're holy. You need to answer to the right thing. And some of you have been settling for below what God has been calling you. You've been answering to average. And God wants you to know you're accepted. That's why my favorite part of this scripture tells us how we're supposed to live. Once we own it, once we're open, and if we're going to be his minister, that we hear from the originator. And because we're going to be the minister, somebody say, I'm the minister here. Come on, just say it. I'm the minister here. When you get open, when you hear from the originator, when you're one of those who says, I'm going to own my calling, then you start living offensive. Go with me. If you are going to be the minister, you have to live offensive. Look at the next part of the verse. It says, and also I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Then he makes this bold statement. And the gates of Hades, or the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it. I've always had this scripture messed up. Because what has happened, I got a gate here that represents a gate of hell. And what I thought is that the church was inside of a gate being protected, and that all the forces of the enemy is coming at you, but nothing can touch you because you're protected in the gate. So the gates of hell won't prevail. But I figured that I just couldn't read and I didn't understand it. Because it says the gates of hell, that means hell is the thing that has set up protection around certain things. Hell has set up gates around the entertainment industry. Hell has tried to set up gates around the education system. Hell has tried to set up gates around your family and keep y'all in generational cycles. Hell has tried to set up gates in music and keep people in cycle. And it said the reason that the hell has gates is because it doesn't want God's ministers to get in. Because if God's ministers would ever penetrate the gates of hell, we could go in and have authority to make a difference. And what has happened is because you haven't owned that you're the actual minister, you haven't lived offensive. You've lived defense. So you're just trying to make sure the enemy doesn't play me and make sure my kids are okay. And God says, I invented you to score. I invented you to go into hell and be able to get all of the things that have been locked up, movies and entertainment and government. The enemy thought he had a gate set around it, but I'm about to release ministers in the midst of everything that hell has set up against a gate around. And it says, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail. The only reason it's working is because we haven't gone up and tried to go in. Who's the minister here? You. And you're already in place, but you're not living offensive enough. And so when somebody wants to tell you you can't pray here, you back up off of it. When they tell you, you can't have a Bible study here, you back up off of it. And God says, I am waiting for somebody to get the keys that I already stole from the enemy. Do you remember that the 3 days when he was crucified? I feel that I'm about to preach. I need an organ right now. The 3 days when he was up there, it says that he wasn't just sitting there. It said that he went down to the place of Hades. And he stole the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he gave all of us, watch this, I just need you to see it. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, it's telling us that we got to live offensively. It says, and since John the Baptist began preaching until now, everybody say until now. Right now, this day that you're watching this, until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advanced. And violent people are attacking hell's gates. I'm tired of punk Christians who are not answering the call of being a minister where you are right now. God says, I don't have to move no pastor into entertainment because you're there. I don't have to get somebody in the financial institution because a minister's already there. But you got to own it and live offensive. So what are you talking about? Well, then how do I have the keys? Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. I love it. He says, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I'm ready for an army of ministers after this message to take the authority and the keys he already snatched from every demon and devil, and he gives them to us. So from now on, in the name of Jesus, when we go into our jobs, when we go into social media, when we go into education, it tells us that the gates that are set up around it, that we have the key. We don't even got to fight for it. All we got to decide to do is take our authority and take it off. And everything that the enemy thought he could use is no longer a place. And we can go in to every area in the entertainment. We can go in and we can move it. Oh, we can take it by force. We can invite other believers into it. I can say, listen, government is open. Is there any ministers who want to come and be a part of what God? Hey, every soccer mom, you can start that ministry right here. Get other believers in entertainment, in government, in our homes. I know that there are ministers. But until we live offensive, come on, I need some more believers up here. Because this is what's supposed to be the body of Christ, the picture. Is that when we walk in, this ain't the church no more. This ain't the church no more. Y'all stand right there. Now I want you, in the midst of education, in the midst of the entertainment and arts industry, I want y'all to start praying right now. Get in a circle and start praying right now. That's what happens when ministers take their place. that then they're open. Ah, I feel the presence of God. And when they're open, if they get in a place together, the Bible says where there are two or three ministers gathered in my name, he said, I'm in the midst. And they get into education and they get into the entertainment system. It says the gates of hell can't keep us out if we would own being the ministers. And today, if you would take the keys that God has given you and walk in that authority, whatever you bind, whatever you loose has to happen. My last point, thank you guys. If you're going to be the minister, you have to be ordained. And all the word ordained means is be officially given authority to minister. Today, at your home, this is not a church service. This is an ordination. This, as you have understood what God is saying in your life, I want you to know the title of my message and the charge of your life. You are officially ordained. Today, you're the minister. Today, God doesn't have to look for another because I'm going to be open. I'm going to hear from the originator. I'm going to own my calling, and I am going to claim my ordination, and I'm going to minister to others. We're not looking for nobody else. God's not searching for anybody else because he put you there. And today, we stop chasing things that are distracting us from our calling. He called us to be his ministers, to spread the gospel, to let people know that he loves them and he lives and he can help them right now. And you are officially ordained. You don't need a collar for this. You don't need a platform for this. You don't need a building for this. All you need to know is as you step up and be open, God will fill your mouth. He'll show you what to do. He'll show you where to give. He'll show you how to love. And today, if I'm a man of God, I'm telling you that a revival is about to break out. Not because it's happening in a building. I feel this thing so strong. It's going to happen because ministers are in every gate that the enemy thought he had locked. And we're going to stand at the gates of hell. Woo! Will not prevail against them. Somebody give God a shout of praise in this building. Hallelujah. It's our work now. It's not my work alone. When I'm on this platform, yes, I'm your Mr. Miyagi. But when I come off this platform, I'm just a child of God who's a minister too. So I got to go and share the gospel. I got to teach my kids how to love God. And I decided as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Pastor, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do that. Listen, Matthew 28, 18. He told them, I've given you all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations. Do y'all know with this pandemic happening, and all of the gods of the world being shut down, like sports, movie theaters. Like, think about all the other gods, government, finances. Everything's been shut down. He's saying this is the perfect opportunity for you to go and make disciples of all nations. And right now, as I record this message and I speak it live to people watching, and some are watching on rebroadcast and some are watching right now in their cars, it's in every nation. And I'm telling you, you're the minister in that nation. He said, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this. This is the thing I want to end with. Be sure of it. I am with you always. During coronavirus, always. During the economic collapse, always. During the Great Depression, always. During slavery, always. Even to the end of the age. If you're going to be the minister, alone is never an option. God's saying, I need you to answer this call, and I promise you, you'll never walk alone. That's why it says, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's how Bella was when we were going down the hallway. She thought it was a place of scary and darkness. He said, I don't have to fear because you are with me. And that's all I want to tell you is God is with you. He's with you in the midst of your hurt. He's with you in the midst of your pain. He's with you in the midst of the uncertainty. He's with you. Because he's not with the church, the organization. He's with the church, the organism. And I need you to declare by faith. When somebody asks you, and when you look around, and you're trying to figure out, who's the minister here? Who needs to pray? Who needs to do something? Who's the minister here? You'll be able to step forward boldly and say, I'm the minister here. Somebody just say it in faith. Say, I'm the minister here. Come on, one more time. Say, I'm the minister here. And I believe that the greatest revival the church has ever seen is on the brink of erupting, because we will not be lulled to sleep anymore thinking it's somebody else's job. Do y'all see? This whole time I've been preaching, this thing has been standing up because it wasn't one or two ministers in place. It was multiple ministers doing what God has called all of us to do. And the weight of the world could be on our shoulders, but if all of us are in our spot, nothing can stop us. I want to pray for you right now, because some of you have just answered the call. God has changed your name. Hands lifted all over this place, in your living room, right now in your car. Some of y'all are on the beach. Lift your hands right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that your Holy Spirit is transmitting through every device, and it is bringing people into the saving knowledge of who you are. Father, I thank you that they're answering the call to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I come against the lies that have tried to disqualify people. I come against the pain that has tried to paralyzed people. I come against, Father God, even the frustration that has tried to frazzle people. And I speak life and faith into every minister right now in the name of Jesus. I declare and I decree that we will be open to you, Father God, that we will hear from the originator, God, that we will own our calling, that we answer and accept that we are ordained and we will never walk alone. Today I declare that something is arising in the earth, and the enemy has made a mistake, because this is the church and we are built for this, and the gates of hell will not prevail. We trust you, we believe you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen and give God the biggest, oh come on, give him the biggest shout of praise you have. Some of you right now are watching this and you need to do the first thing. You've been God's passion far from him. But today you heard God calling you, whispering you, compelling you. And I just want to share good news with you that you can become God's people right now. I was in the same boat as you. I was a liar, a manipulator. I was addicted to pornography. I had all kinds of things going on in my heart that were bad. And all I did was what Romans 10:9 said, is I believed and I confessed that Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose again just for me. And that day I was saved. The Bible says, behold, when you make that declaration, the old has passed away and I'm making everything new. If you're in this room and you want to make the greatest decision of your life by becoming or switching your position from God's passion to now God's people, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And you don't have to confess your sins to everybody. God's saying, as I hear you and I see you right now, and at Transformation Church and in Transformation Nation, we're one big family. Nobody prays alone. So everybody that's watching right now is going to pray this prayer with you. But I want you to mean it from your heart, because today your life is changing and you're going to answer the call of God on your life. Everybody just lift your hands and say, God, thank you for being my Lord. Thank you for living and dying and coming alive again just for me. Today, I receive salvation. The old is passing away and everything's becoming new. Change me, renew me, transform me. I'm yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, can we put our hands together all over the world and thank God for the hundreds, if not thousands of people that have just come into the family? you're God's people, and we love you. Thank you so much for watching Transformation Church's YouTube. And I just want you to take another step. If this is feeding you, join Transformation Nation. That's everybody that doesn't live here in Tulsa watching live with us on Sunday mornings. Gather your family. Let's make this thing an every week situation. And please share. Share if it has impacted your life. There is somebody that is waiting for you to share this with them. And transformation is only a click away. And there's one more thing I would ask you to do. Pray about giving. If you want to help us take this message all around the world and represent God to lost and found people for one reason, transformation in Christ, you can do that right now by clicking the give button. I cannot wait to see you the next time we're here. Live a transformed life.